We want to go ahead and invite tonight's guest speaker, Sayyid Haider Hussain from the United Kingdom. We will invite him to address the believers with a sincere and a loud Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before I begin, I apologize that I'm sitting here and you're sitting down there. I should be the one sitting there and listening to you, especially we have some great scholars and teachers, Muhammameen, in our Jalasa, and others who are not Muhammam, but just as great. It's not appropriate that a small talibe like myself address you, and I really, really apologize. And those of you who maybe are not as, you know, advanced in knowledge, you are certainly more advanced in sincerity. So I ask your forgiveness. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها والصلاة والسلام على عبده المرتضى ورسوله المجتبى وحبيبه المصطفى الذي سماه في السماوات أحمدا وفي الأرض أبا القاسم محمدا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد عجل فرجه
وعلى الأطيبين من آله البررة سيما حجة الله الباقية أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وفرقانه المجيد وقرآنه العظيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم
For the hearts of Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Askari, arwahuna lahu al-fida, to be pleased with us and for us to be the most highest and sincerest and closest of his servants and soldiers, with the loudest of your voices, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil.
Dear teachers, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum
assalam.
Firstly, I begin by extending my congratulations to our master, the connection between the heavenly realm and the earthly kingdom, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, arwahuna lahu al-fida, on the month of Sha'ban, which is somewhat a month which is intertwined with the blessed existence of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And a month which contains such incredible and precious moments, days and nights and hours, a month in which the savior of al-Islam, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, entered this earthly realm, and a month in which the savior of humanity, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, appeared in his physical form upon this earthly realm. A month in which al-Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, that lion of Karbala, who we don't venerate and honor enough and don't recognize enough, on a night like this entered this earthly realm. For all of these luminous lights and divine beings to be pleased with us and to look over our jalasa and upon our hearts and bless us, and likewise for the shuhada to be present in this jalasa once more with the loudest of your voices, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. What is the main difference between Islam and Kufr? Today it's very clear in the world who it is that upholds the standard of Islam. And similarly, it's also very clear who it is that upholds the flag of Al-Kufr. This battle has always been going on since the moment Adam alayhi salam entered. In fact, before he entered this earthly realm, this battle existed. It exists both in the world outside as well as in the being of every single one of us. It's a battle, you know, right till the final moments, till death. But what is the difference between that civilization of Islam and that civilization of Kufr? We often come and we discuss different topics. We say, or they say, one of us says that, for example, homosexuality is good. We say homosexuality is bad. Okay. They come and they say women's rights means X, Y, and Z. We say no. Women's rights means A, B, and C. You've got it wrong. We come and say that justice means such and such. They say no. Justice means something completely different. There are so many issues that we disagree on and argue about. But my question is this. My question is this. Are any of these the actual point of difference? Or are these just the result of that point of difference? You see, maybe there's something deeper which we often forget. We disagree on something much more important than in any of these. And perhaps, and this is just a thought, I stand to be corrected. And please correct me if I'm wrong, without any ta'aruf. We're here to grow together and to help one another reach Allah the Exalted. Perhaps there is a deeper difference which results in all of these outward differences. You see, the fact is, and before I mention that difference actually, allow me to say this. What is religion all about? What is the mawdu of al-Islam? Have we ever thought of that? What is Islam here to do? What is it for? What's the topic of Islam? What's the philosophy of Islam? What's the reason behind Islam? Question, does Allah the Exalted follow Islam? No. Allah's not a Muslim. Allah sent Islam. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ Allah doesn't follow Islam. Why? Who did He send Islam for? It's very clear from the ayat of the Quran that Islam came for a being called Al-Insan. This religion and Islam is all about Al-Insan. That's all it's about. So Allah doesn't follow Islam. He sent Islam for us to reach our completion and perfection. The mawdu of al-Islam is al-insan. And this is where we disagree with kufr. What is the meaning of that word? What does that mean? They boast, we've been to the moon, apparently. Right? We made so much progress in science. Right? But I'll leave aside the fact that it was built on how on stealing and theft and slavery and slaughter.
Forget about that. Okay, no problem. Made progress in science. ثُمَّ مَاذَا? You can't even define that word al-insan. You don't have a definition. The Western civilization has failed. All these centuries have gone by. Their great thinkers have come and gone. Others have come and gone. Their scientists have come and gone. And so on and so forth. Century after century, they failed to reach a consensus and decisively state that al-insan is this. Subhanallah al-azim. What are you speaking about when you don't even know the topic that science deals with? What are you speaking about? You say human rights. Define human first. Then let's speak about its rights. What is al-insan? But Islam, no. It provides a very clear definition of what al-insan is. And the program of al-insan, of al-Islam, is based on this definition. And therefore we begin disagreeing on so many other levels. Because firstly, you don't have a definition. Secondly, the definition you've imposed upon your peoples and upon the whole world is a satanic definition. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? Let's come to the Quran. The statement of Imam al-Khomeini rahmatullah alayh that America is the greatest Satan, the greater Satan. And of course, everyone knows we're not speaking about the people living in America. It's not a geographical location. There are some people physically in the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they're more American than American.
Thank you,
Hassan. I'm Iranian. Thank you, Hassan. You get how you Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So when Imam al-Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi comes and says that statement, of course he's speaking about an ideology, a culture. What does that culture do? And what's the connection to Iblis? Come to the Quran. What did Iblis say to Allah? Why didn't he bow to Adam alayhi salam? What was his mantiq? What was his logic? He had a logic for himself. He said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِين. I am made from fire. He is made from earth. Fire is better than earth, and therefore I'm better than him. Therefore, I don't do sajda in front of him. It's a beautiful logic. The problem is, what Iblis failed to see was that al-insan is not just a piece of mud. Because that structure, that body was present, the command of sajda didn't come. It was the moment when Allah said, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. When I blew into him of my spirit, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. See, Iblis only saw the physical side. What is American culture all about? It's all about physicality. Man is just, you know, this physical body. And therefore Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi beautifully states, and very accurately states, and Quranically states, that America is the greater Satan. Of course it is. Of course it is. But what does Al-Islam say? Al-Islam says, no. You're not this. This physicality is not who you are. You're something much greater. You're using this physicality to achieve something here. But you are something much greater. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad. The first thing that man requires in order to reach his perfection is a definition of his own self. Who am I? This I always speak about. I'm hungry. I go there. I do this. I feel this. I'm unhappy. Who is this I? This needs to be defined before anything else. And al-Islam brings a clear definition, and its program for the elevation of this human being is based upon that definition. The Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam, their understanding, because you know, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam are one light. And as Ayatollah Shaykh Mirza Agha Maliki Tabrizi rahmatullah alayh, Imam al-Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, encourages, read his books in spirituality. Read his books. He says something very interesting. He says, and allow me to bring a narration to complete this discussion. There's one narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. It's related. He says, "Inna ma'ashir al-anbiya umirna an nukallim an-nas ala qadri aqulihim." We,
the prophets are ordered to speak to people at the level of their understanding, correct? So he comes, rahmatullah alayhi, and he says something so beautiful. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, not quoting exactly. He comes and he says, you know, there's a difference between the narrations of the Prophet and his household alayhim afdalus salatu wassalam in the books of ahadith and the ad'iyah, the supplications of this household. And that difference is that when it comes to the narrations, we have so much to benefit from without any doubt. No one's denying that. But the fact is, who is the mukhatab of the narrations? The mukhatab is people. And therefore, they're speaking at the level of people. But who is the mukhatab when it comes to du'as of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam? And therefore, you have ma'arif in the ad'iyah of the Ahlul Bayt that you do not have in any narration. Because that is them and Allah. That is them and Allah the Exalted. So, these individuals who Allah chose to manifest for us in this earthly plane in order to elevate us to Him, they understand reality 100%, correct? I have an opinion, he has an opinion, she has an opinion, but their opinion is not an opinion. Kalamukum Noor. Your speech is light. Why is it light? Because what is Noor? Maybe one reason could be this. Maybe one hikmah could be this. And many reasons, I'm sure. What is light? Light is that which clears the darkness. Light is that which shows you reality. Light is that which, other than light, becomes clear by means of it. If you want to know reality, you have to come to this household. Listen to their words. Listen to their words. One of the beautiful and mysterious and heavenly supplications specific to the month of Sha'ban is which supplication, brothers and sisters? Al-Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. It's related that Imam Khamenei Hafidhullah once said that I once asked Imam al-Khumeini rahmatullah alayhi, between all of the supplications from the Ahlul Bayt, which supplication are you more intimate with? He said, Munajat al-Sha'baniyya and Dua Kumail. We sometimes end up making the same mistake that others who fall into the trap of secularism make. They say politics one thing, religion one thing. Sometimes we also come and we only take our leaders as political leaders, not realizing that if you want to find the roots of that politics, you have to go to Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. This is what makes Imam al-Khumeini rahmatullah alayhi. Isn't that the case? He's a student of this household. And one of the beautiful things about this munajah, one of the specific qualities of this munajah, which many other adiyah do not have this quality, is there is not one single dunyawi request in this munajah. Incredible, isn't it? You know, the month of Rajab prepares us for the month of Sha'ban. Ayatollah Walikya Tabrizi rahmatullah alayh says that one of the duties of the, when I'm paraphrasing, of the one seeking his perfection, Allah's closeness in the month of Rajab is what? To remember the hadith of the calling angel, hadith al-Malik al-Da'i. From the beginning of Rajab till the end, what is that hadith? It's a prophetic narration. It's a hadith Qudsi, where the speaker is Allah the Exalted. The last phrase of that narration was what? وَجَعَلْتُ هَذَا الشَّهْرَ حَبْلًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِي. I have made this month, Rajab, to be a rope between myself and my servants. So whoever holds on to it, وَصَلَ إِلَيَّ, will reach me. Not will reach heaven. Will reach me. This is something else. This is what man can become if he chooses to or she chooses to. That's what a person can achieve in the Rajab. And that's before the month of Sha'ban. That's preparing us for Sha'ban, which is all preparing us for Shah Ramadan, which is all preparing us for the night of Al-Qadr. So in this month, we're told to recite this munajah.
المناجات الشعبانية. And again, another quality of this munajah is that it's the munajah of not one imam or two imams or three of the a'imma. Every single one of them recited this. You don't find this in other adhiya. It's incredible. We have to benefit from these blessings, these gems which have been given to us for free. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The individual speaking understand reality 100%, correct? So when they are addressing Allah the Exalted, they're speaking on an understanding of reality which is 100% accurate. And therefore, if we contemplate over some of these phrases, we can understand a lot about the human being, al-insan. We don't need to go to Western schools of psychology. We need to work on this. When the leader has clearly said, jihad ilmiya mustamir, continuous ilmi jihad. Who's meant to do that except the students of the Islamic seminary? Who's meant to be, you know, the leading that ilmi jihad? We need to show the world. First, we need to show ourselves. Then we need to show the world we don't need anything else. We have the Quran, the Ahlul Bayt, it's more than sufficient. But unfortunately, you have Shi'i Muslims who have psychological issues. It's terrible. You have individuals who, you have, unfortunately, some of our sisters, especially in Western countries, right, who don't eat because they're afraid of getting fat, who don't leave the house because they're afraid everyone's looking at them. What is this? Shia to Amir al-Mu'mineen? It's not about only claiming to be Shia. We have a big role in that. So allow me to read just this one phrase and see how many points we can take away from it, inshallah, and then I'll conclude. So this is just one small phrase. And I don't want to speak about tafsir because I'm not a mufassir. I just want to take away points that anyone who reads this would understand. So we're encouraged to contemplate on this more, inshallah. Ilahi. And again, this word has an ocean of meaning behind it. Ilahi, my Allah. Not Allahumma. But I won't enter that. Ilahi, my Allah. Lam yakun li hawlun. We're trying to understand who al-insan is. Something about our own selves, our species. You know, our... Ilahi, lam yakun li hawlun. My Allah, I didn't have the ability to change. From what? فَأَنْتَقِلَ بِهِ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِكَ. I didn't have the ability to change from being in a state of sinning. How many times, brothers and sisters, have people come to you and said, Shaykh or Shaykha, I don't want to sin, but I can't help it. How many times have you heard people complain, I feel bad about after when I do it, but I just can't stop. I've tried everything. I've tried fasting. I've tried this dhikr. I've tried that dua. I've tried going for ziyarah. When I go back to my home, it happens again. And you know this person is not a munafiq. They feel bad. You see it in their eyes. You hear it in their voices. Help me stop. What can I do? And perhaps I still have this issue as well. We're not exempt. I don't want to sin, but I just can't stop. And this is what the Imam is saying. We're trying to understand al-insan here. I don't have the power to stop sinning. It's so important. Except in one moment. There is one thing which can make me al-insan leave sinning forever. One thing, one force. What is that? Illa. The only time I can stop sinning and disobeying you is when في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك. Except in that moment when you awaken me to your love. When love comes, sins will go. So if sins are there, love hasn't come. Do you want something clearer than this? Want something, and they say Islam has no psychology, we need the West to tell us about some psychology? This is al-insan. When love comes, it purifies. So if I'm sinning, what's my problem actually? I'm not in love yet. Not in love yet. What happens when love comes? وَكَمَا أَرَدْتَ أَنْ أَكُونَ كُنْتَ Then I became as you wanted me to be. That's the effect of divine love when it enters the heart of a human being. فَشَكَرْتُكَ بِإِدْخَالِ فِي كَرَمِكَ I thanked you. وَلِتَطْهِيرِ قَلْبِ مِنْ أَوْسَاخِ الْغَفْلَةِ عَنْكَ I thanked you for making me enter into the presence of your generosity and for purifying my heart from the filth of negligence of you. How many points are present in there? Allow me to mention just one or two, inshallah. One story and we wrap up. Because this is just a motivation for myself before any of my brothers and sisters to, inshallah, contemplate upon these words of Ahlul Bayt. Kalamukum, Noor. Benefit from this light. Look at the wording. The moment that you awoke me to your love. What's the implication? Ayqadhtani. What does yaqadha mean? It means waking up. You know what that means? It means before divine love enters the heart of a human being, he's not awake. Meaning what? He's asleep. What is sleep? It's the brother of death. He's a zombie. Before divine love enters his heart. He's a zombie. We live in a world of zombies. أيقظتني, you awoke me. This person, myself, I'm in a state of spiritual unconsciousness. I'm not alive. Life starts when love enters. That's when you start to live. That's when you start to live. What else can we take away from this? Look, brothers and sisters. It says, وَلِتَطْهِيرِ قَلْبِي Love purifies the heart. It makes you pure. Meaning what? Before I'm in love, I'm a filthy, disgusting, disgraceful being. Don't deserve being mentioned. Min awsakh, what does awsakh mean? What does wasakh mean? It means filth. Awsakh al-ghafla. Ghafla, being negligent of Allah is filth. I was filthy. What made me pure? Your love. I was asleep, I was dead. What gave me life? Your love. That's why I'm sinning. That's my problem. That's the issue. I'm not in love yet. Don't know what that means. And have you noticed when you sleep, you think you're awake when you're dreaming? I might think I'm awake. I might think I'm happy, but I'm dreaming. After you awaken from your dream, you realize, oh, I was asleep and now I know I'm awake. I don't think I'm awake. I know I'm awake. Big difference. Most people, they think they're awake. They think they're happy. They're dreaming. Till this love hasn't entered, no awakening takes place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know from the Quran, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى Nothing is for man except that for which he strives. Allah doesn't look at your face and say, I like you, I'm going to wake you up. I don't like you, I'm not going to wake you up. Is that our perception of Allah? That one say it, I'll wake him up. That one's not say it, I won't wake him up. That one's Khwaja, I'll wake him up very quickly. No, Allah's not like that. Allah's not like us. You make effort, the result of your effort is His placing His love in your heart. The result of that love is you awakening and becoming pure. And it's only when a person is awakened that they can awaken others. فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءٍ لَا يُعْتِي A person who doesn't have knowledge, can he give knowledge to others? Of course not. A person who doesn't have water, can he give water to others? Of course not. Our job is to awaken the people. How can we awaken the people if we're still in a state of slumber? Allow me to finish with one story. And you know, just mention, there are some individuals who are in a state of so much such great consciousness and awakening and divine love that even mentioning them, listening to their stories is enough to move a person's heart. In this magnificent and shining chain of spiritual teachers who all the greats acknowledge, including Imam al-Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, including Imam Khamenei hafidhahullah ta'ala, this chain of teachers going to back to Sayyid Ali al-Qadhi rahmatullah alayh and his teachers, there's an individual who is grave
is in the sacred shrine of Al-Husayn alayhi salam, in the courtyard of his shrine. And that individual is someone who is called Mullah Hussein Quli Hamadani, rahmatullah alayhi. There's a beautiful story about this great arif. And I've heard different versions, I've seen different versions, so I apologize, maybe it's not the most accurate one, but inshallah, the gist of it can be conveyed. If you want to hear the story, with the loudness of your voices, Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He was one, there used to be in Najaf a gangster, a very big built man who everyone feared. And everyone respected him, a fake respect, not a true respect, because they were afraid of him. You know, he was someone who perhaps would take people's things. If there were guns at that time, you know, he'd be the person who'd hold people down at gunpoint and empty their pockets. So everyone feared him. His name was Abdul Farrar. Or some have said Abid al-Farrar. Abid al-Farrar. So once Mullah Hussein Quli Hamadani rahmatullah alayhi was returning from his ziyarah of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, walking down the road. This man, this arrogant gangster guy, was watching him. You know, whoever would pass him, he'd stand up for Abdul Farrar and pretend to respect him just so he'd be in safety. You know? Mullah Hussein Quli Hamadani rahmatullah alayhi doesn't give him any attention whatsoever. He walks past as if no one's there. This bothers him. He stands. Come and says, Shaykh, come back here. Yes. So how dare you pass me and pretend you didn't see me? How could you do? You're not afraid. You know who I am? He says, who are you? He says, I'm Abdul Farrar. He turns to him. He says one sentence to him. He says, أَفَرَرْتَ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَمِنْ رَسُولِهِ Abdul Farrar, who have you run away from? Did you run from Allah or his messenger? He says this, the man freezes. Shaykh walks off. Everyone in Najaf knew this man. So the next day, the students of this great arif come to him and he says, come with me. There is a believer who's passed away. I'm going to lead the prayer upon his body. It's okay. They start going with him. To their astonishment, he leads them to the house of Abdul Farrar. And they're in shock. This man, he'd passed away that night. The Shaykh comes forward, he leads the janazah prayer over this body, and he leaves. One of the students is very curious. He says, what's happening here? Surely there's a secret behind this story, this event. They ask the wife of Abdul Farrar, he said, what happened? He passed away. Did something happen last night? She said, you know, last night he came home and after the Maghrib and Isha prayer, he was just walking up and down the courtyard saying to himself, did I run from Allah or did I run from his messenger? Who did I run away from? That very night he made Tawbah after hearing one sentence from that magnificent Arif. Why? Because one who is awakened can awaken others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who he awakes to his love. Please say Ameen loudly. Oh Allah, make us from those who you awaken to your love, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us. Forgive all the believers who passed away, our parents, all those who have a right upon us tonight, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, elevate the station of our shuhada. Return the evil of the oppressors back towards them. Grant victory to Islam and the forces of Islam. And make us from those with whom you are well pleased, Ya Allah. Wa subhana rabbina rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين